Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant. We're on a roll.
All right, that's right, folks. Welcome to the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show on another Friday here, a hot Friday, as we go into the weekend. All righty, we are coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer. And don't forget, because we are live, we are here, we are in the mercury-free broadcast studios. That means you can give my dentist a call when you want some mercury-free dentistry at 407-678-3399. James E. Hardy is his name, and he's got a great book called Mercury Free. You're going to want to check that out, too. I am Christopher Hart. I'm alone in the studio for the time being. Got some guests going to be in here shortly. I'll tell you about them here in a few minutes. But Nick LoCicero is back on the bridge once again tonight, so we're in good hands. If you want to be a part of the show, I welcome you to call me at any time between now and 7 p.m. at 407-774-8255. And because the Rays are still playing out west, we will be here until 7 p.m. on the airwaves tonight, so no fears about that. Now, having said that, Sunday they're going to be starting a day game late, according to our time zone anyway. It'll be starting at 4:05, so if you tune in Sunday night, you're going to have to find us up the dial at 1520 WBZW. And if you want to check out some great high school football, go up the dial after the show tonight, immediately after the show at 7 p.m. to 1520 WBZW, and catch the Apopka Blue Daddas. They're going to play the Lake City team up the road here at 7:30 tonight, 7 p.m. pregame show with Joe Ferrero and Roger Franklin Williams calling the game tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. High school football is always a very entertaining form of football, and the Apopka Blue Darters always seem to somehow come out with a great team year in and year out. Hats off again to Coach Darlington out there. But I do have a lot to talk about tonight. First of all, we are going to have Michelle Herzog on with us here shortly. I've been telling you about this, a rally going on downtown tomorrow across the street from the Citrus Bowl on Tampa Avenue there at the Planned Parenthood Clinic, a protest rally against funding for Planned Parenthood. So we'll be talking with her about that. And we're going to have a couple of fellas from the local Act for America group who have written a graphic novel. This is reminiscent of Charlie Hebdo type stuff. They're going to be on the show to talk about their book and how you can get one should you want one. And that'll be going on a little bit later on, too. And, it was at a press conference, I believe, yesterday. I think it was in Iowa. It doesn't really matter where. It was a little bit of a press conference where Jeb Bush was sort of a non-formal thing at a microphone with a reporter surrounding him when one of them piped up asking him if he regretted using the phrase anchor babies in a radio interview the day before, which would have been Wednesday, I guess. And he turned around and he said no, and reminiscent of Trump's response to another reporter who asked him the same question, he turned around and he said, because the reporter was kind of behind him, and he said, well, what should I call him? And the guy said, well, I don't know. What should you call him? And then he kind of put his hands on his hips and turned around and again more faced the guy directly and said, well, what should I call them? And the guy said something to the effect of babies of undocumented immigrants, I think is what he said. And Jeb said, well, I used anchor babies, but it wasn't my words. That was just, the vernacular is kind of what he was saying. And I thought, compared to Donald Trump, this guy looked like a wimp. I'm sorry, putting his hands on his hips, he reminded me of a girlfriend, turning around saying to me, Well, what do you want me to do about it? And, of course, you know, whenever that's happened to me, I get all smart alecky and say, well, you just come over here and let me give you a big old kiss. Well, one girl, she said, oh, you want me to do that, do you? And I said, well, yeah. She said, okay, close your eyes. So I closed my eyes, and she said, okay, pucker up. So I puckered up, and then just as I kind of peeked out one eye, just in time to see her winding up for a big old haymaker, all right? So we don't get Jeb Bush in any trouble. We have come up with a list of 10 alternatives to the phrase anchor baby. All right, now I'm going to get to these a little bit later on in the show. But we don't want Jeb to get in trouble with these reporters. We don't want him, you know, to be having to get angry at him or anything because he wants to run this campaign of joy. So we've come up with 10 alternatives to the phrase anchor baby. I think you're going to appreciate them when I get to them a little bit here later on in the show. But first, I want to talk about Jimmy Carter. You know, what in the world is he going to talk about? What is he going to call about Jimmy Carter for? Who cares about Jimmy Carter? Well, we should all care about Jimmy Carter. For one, he's a former president of the United States. Two, he's a human being, and every now and then he says something that makes sense. And I think he talked a lot of sense yesterday when he gave this press conference about him having cancer and his treatment for the cancer and what it means. He is 90 years old, and so I guess, you know, it's sort of a reflection period in his life, if you will. But one thing that I think we should admire, yes, indeed, admire in Jimmy Carter is his faith. His faith in God, his faith in Jesus, and his dogged determination to live his faith. Now, I wished that he would be more adamant in speaking out for others who share his faith, in particular in the Middle East. And we'll be talking about this a little bit more later on in the show. But at least he has never been ashamed of his faith. And he has tried to be true to his faith. And that is saying a whole lot more than we can say about a lot of other so-called Christians. In particular, a couple that jump to my mind are Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden, who call themselves Catholics, you know, and take communion and then go out and support Planned Parenthood and what they do. So I suppose Jimmy Carter does too, but I do think that a man of faith can disagree with us, and he will have to face God. And if he's wrong on that issue, well, then he'll have to face his maker, our maker, for that. But, at this time, a couple of things he said. He said yesterday, he said, now I feel it's in the hands of God whom I worship, and I'll be prepared for anything that comes. We're not looking for, he said further that he is at ease. He said I've had a wonderful life. I've had thousands of friends. I've had an exciting, adventurous, and gratifying existence. So I was surprisingly at ease as he had some cancer treatment and surgery yesterday, much more so than my wife was. And he's at peace. And this is what I was, the point I was getting to is that this is one reason why it's important for us to have faith and to believe in God. And I believe one reason why we have been given the shall I call it, the phenomena of death. If we had eternal life, who'd give a damn about God, right? You wouldn't care. You got eternal life. But because we are mortal beings, our attention is jarred, so to speak. And those of us who are of faith and secure and strong in our faith, we will face dying if we can have the opportunity to face it like Jimmy Carter has here, hopefully with the same dignity and smile on our face that he had yesterday. And he's flashing them big old teeth of his still. And I'll say this about Jimmy Carter. Here's an admission. And I'm not ashamed of it, but I kind of like Jimmy Carter. I being from Georgia, and my dad was from Georgia, and he was a fan of Jimmy Carter. And you know, it's sort of a homeboy type thing, and more than a political thing, because my father believed more like a whole lot more like Ronald Reagan than he did Jimmy Carter, but the homeboy, right? So my dad voted for him. I didn't, but my dad did. And when he lost to Reagan, I had some empathy for the man. Obviously, you know, he was disappointed. So this was back in the day when they had Western Union Telegraph still. You know, they don't have those anymore. Did away with them, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago. So I went down the next day and shot off a telegraph to Jimmy Carter in the White House. And I forget exactly what I said, but it was something to the effect of, this isn't the end of the world, don't despair. Your days as peacemaker are far from over. I don't know if he ever saw it. I don't know if he ever read it. I did get a thank you note from Rosalind, his wife of 69 years. But I don't know. If he did, maybe he took my advice. So if you don't like what he's been doing since he was president, I reckon you can blame me. All right, let me go ahead and take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the anchor baby phrase and the 14th Amendment. So please don't go away. Welcome back to the show, folks. That's right. You got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show playing a little classic rock for you there. A couple of reasons for that. Mara Lee of Vacation Travel Planners is on her way to the studio here. We'll talk about our little vacation to paradise, if you will. Jimmy Carter is preparing himself for paradise, if you will. And that has a little something to do with our top 10 alternatives to the anchor baby phrase, too. And you'll see what I mean here in just a moment. And by the way, if you think you have a great alternative to the phrase anchor baby, I'd love to hear it this afternoon. The number is 407-774-8255. And I'll get to that here in just a minute. But there's a lot of controversy over whether or not someone who's born in this country, even if they are here of illegal parents, is a citizen or not. Indeed, the Supreme Court has not made a ruling exactly on that. They did rule in 1898 having to do with a child of Chinese legal immigrants. Speaking of legal immigrants, here comes Mara Lee immigrating into the studio here. I knew that song was right on time. In 1898, the Supreme Court ruled that a child of Chinese parents who were here legally was indeed a citizen. The 14th Amendment was passed 3 years after the end of the Civil War, and it, of course, was meant to address slaves and people who had been enslaved and others, indentured servants and the like. But it was written such that it is going to be hard for the case to be made, in particular in front of this particular Supreme Court, I think, that the 14th Amendment doesn't mean what people think it means. Let me just read the one sentence. It's the first sentence here. And by the way, this is the amendment that's gotten us into a whole lot of trouble. For instance, this is the amendment that gave us gay marriage. This is the amendment that gave us Roe v. Wade et al. Okay, so let me just read the first sentence here. And it's the first paragraph which gave us all those things, because the rest of it has to do with congressional business and how they conduct it. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, let me read that again as it has been interpreted. See if you notice a difference. All persons born or naturalized in the United States are citizens of the United States and of the state wherein they reside. Now, the last version that I read is pretty much what we are living by today. It's the first version that, however, leaves some kind of gray area, if you will, and subject to the jurisdiction thereof. Well, what in the world does that mean? You would think that anybody who is in the country is subject to the jurisdiction of it, that being it being the United States, which is mentioned in the first sentence. All persons born or naturalized in the United States. And subject to the jurisdiction thereof. So evidently there was something else in the framers' mind, or I'm not the framers, I mean the Congress's mind when they wrote this. But that does make some sort of wiggle room there. If it is enough, however, to change the policy that we've been living by since then, I highly doubt it. In particular, given the way that this Supreme Court has handled crucial issues of this nature, I can see perhaps one or two of the justices, maybe three, dissenting, but the other ones upholding the law as we know it. Having said that, Donald Trump is not wrong to say, or Mark Levin, who's been going around saying, you know, that that this has not been decided by the Supreme Court. This is not what that was meant by this 14th Amendment. There is also Section 8, Article 4, I think, the Constitution, which says that it's up to the Congress to determine who's a citizen and who is not. The problem is the Constitution and amendments override anything the Congress can do, unless they pass and can get another amendment passed through. And the problem with this amendment is it kind of doesn't matter what they meant. What matters is what the doggone thing says. So having said all of that, I'm afraid we are stuck with anchor babies, no pun intended. How you doing, Marilee?
I'm doing great. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing pretty fine. Thank you very much. Thanks for coming down this afternoon.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Can I put in my two cents about anchor babies?
You absolutely can. I'd be heartbroken if you didn't.
Oh, there you go. I don't like them.
Any particular reason why?
Because they're illegal. They have no respect for our laws. All they want to do is a free handout. And as a travel professional for over 30 years, I really resent the people who are in the travel profession and are in these hotels that are marketing to these other countries to come here to the United States, have your babies for free. We'll put you up in this wonderful hotel, and you'll get all these services, and then your baby will be automatically a U.S. citizen. This is going on.
Commercial organizations are marketing these services?
Yes, to other countries. There's a whole travel division that does this.
Yeah.
And I wish I had, you know, brought up like one of the articles or something so I could, you know, but it's on the internet. You can read about it. Well, so I'm not making that up.
Well, and, you know, the government has encouraged it. The government encourages it by not sending illegal aliens, even who don't have anchor babies, back. Right. So the ones with the anchor babies, it just, you know, it dispenses with a lot of unnecessary paperwork as far as the government is concerned.
Well, isn't this a form of human trafficking?
You know, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I do think it is. And it is unfortunately, however, a huge part of the illegal immigration problem, because once they do come here, have a child, there is no sending them back. It gives rights for the whole family to come over. So it's got to be addressed somehow in how we deal with immigration. I've got an idea. I don't think that the liberals are going to like it. Since the child is a citizen of the United States, now let me read this again. All persons born or naturalized in the United States, naturalized means go through the to become a citizen process. All persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. So I would presume that this doesn't apply to criminals, does it?
Absolutely. It should not.
So someone who came here illegally, for instance, if they didn't have a child, this would not apply to them, correct?
That's as far as the way I read
it. Right, and that's what everybody else reads it the same way. So here's what we do. We keep the child. We send the mama and the papa back. And if they don't want us to keep the child and adopt the child out, they can take the child back. And the child will still be a citizen. And when that child is old enough, 18 or whenever the parents don't want him around the house anymore, he's welcome to come back by himself.
Exactly.
How about that?
That sounds good to me.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And we'll be right back and see how it sounds to you folks. Please don't go away. And I got our top 10 alternatives, and I'll hit you with them when we get back. Get propelled
back home from FM 105.5, AM 660, The Answer.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, we pile drive the bologna around here. 407-774-8255 is the number, and I've got a guest here. I want to get to her in just a moment, and I think in a roundabout way, this will lead us to her. You'll see what I mean in a minute. I was talking about the phrase anchor babies before the break and how both Donald Trump and Jeb Bush have been challenged on the use of anchor babies. I thought Donald Trump handled it far better. He first asked the reporter, well, what would you have me say? And the reporter just kind of babbled around. He said, well, I'll just use anchor babies, okay? I'm just going to use anchor babies. And that's the end of that. And that's the way you deal with these fools. You know, you don't try to back down. You don't try to dissociate yourself like Jeb Bush did. That wasn't my words. Oh, okay. Well, why'd you use it then, fool? All right, but anyway, I don't want Jeb to get in any trouble. So the next time, instead of anchor baby, I want him to have a phrase that he can use to replace it with. So I've come up with 10 of them with some help. So let's go through these 10 alternatives to the phrase anchor baby. All right, and I think you'll see that they all apply. The first one is get out of jail free card. Instead of anchor baby, we'll call them get out of jail free cards, right? That's kind of what it is, right? Or we can call them tickets to paradise. Or we could call them diaper deportation defenses, right? How about, let's come right out and say it. We'll just call them the bacon winners. Right? They're going to bring home the bacon for the rest of the family. Because without them dirty diapers, the rest of the family would, at least presumably, be deported. Here's another one. Here's number 5. We can, instead of calling them anchor babies, we can call them PP passports. Or you could insert wee wee passports, or my mom used to say TT. I don't know how she came up with that, but you get the idea. Or here's number 6. How about this one? You know, you've heard the phrase free pass. Mm-hmm. We could call them fetal passes, right? Because until they're delivered, they're actually just fetal tissue. They're not even citizens yet. Here's another good one. How about we call them, instead of anchor babies, we call them border dilators? Because they make an opening large enough for the whole family to come in through. All right, or we can call them this. How about instead of anchor babies, we just go ahead and call them Democratic voters, right? That's what they're going to be.
There you go.
All right, here's number 9. We can call them pamper pardons for fugitives. Because Mama and Papa aren't fugitives no more. All right, or this one. And I think this one really is the one that fits the best and the one that Jeb Bush should use from now on instead of the phrase anchor baby. Try saying that three times real fast. He should say they are replacement fetal tissue for the fetal tissue we yank out of our mothers so that we may butcher it and parcel it out. Because that's, in essence, why we go through this whole rigmarole. We're killing our own people, so we got to import them, whether legally or not, to replace the people we are slaughtering day in and day out. Many of them so we can hack them up and sell off the pieces. Oh, aren't we a great nation when we allow this to happen? Well, if you want to do something about that, tomorrow's the day to do it, and I have the woman on the line who can tell us when, where, how, and why. Michelle Herzog, thanks for being with us. I understand you're the director of the Pro-Life Action Ministries of Central Florida. Tell us, first of all, about yourself and a little bit about your group, and thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for having me on. It's a real pleasure. What we do here, right here in Central Florida, there are 6 abortion centers, and we always make sure that we've got people out in front of these abortion centers reaching out to the women to let them know that there's another way. And so every time that women are scheduled to have abortions, we have people out there to give another choice.
Yeah, we have John Barrows who joins us on a show. He's joining us on a regular basis now, who is one of these individuals that you were talking about.
Oh, a wonderful, wonderful man.
Yeah,
wonderful,
absolutely.
Man. So we see a lot of children saved, a lot.
And tomorrow the rally is when and where?
Tomorrow the rally is basically nationwide. There's over 290 ministries, churches, whatever, taking part. Right here in Central Florida, we've got 2 locations, Kissimmee and right here in Orlando. The one in Orlando is at the Planned Parenthood on Tampa Avenue, 726 South Tampa Avenue. That one is from 10 to 12. The one in Kissimmee, 610 Oak Commons Boulevard, that's from 10 to 1. And we're doing this because of exactly what you were talking about. The hearts of the people of America have seen these videos. We can no longer say that that is a blob of tissue growing in a mother's womb when you can pick up a little leg with some tweezers out of the petri dish, when you can talk about brains and livers and thymus and, doing the right kind of abortion procedures so you can get an intact brain. These are not blobs of tissues. These are human beings. And what have we become in our society to get to a place like this?
Well,
that's why we're doing what we're doing.
Right. Well, if we didn't know, it's one thing. But now that we know, it's a whole other thing. And
yeah.
It's something that we just can't sit idly by and just ignore it. And this, these videos, there are many more of them to come out. And I was astonished, not surprised, but astonished at how very, very little the mainstream, that is the mainstream media, is carrying this story. I forget the news organization, but they did a study, a survey, and they discovered that since these videos began to come out, the coverage on the major networks has been so minuscule that it's hardly measurable. It's been like 90 seconds since then. It's just absolutely absurd. Hopefully this rally will get some attention, if not from the national media, at least from the local medias around the country.
Well, yes, and, thank the Lord for, the Internet, because this is not staying quiet. The national media can refuse to cover it, but it is getting out, and they cannot contain it. People are outraged to find out what's going on. Those of us that have been in the pro-life movement for many, many years, we've known that this has been going on. We knew about it in the 90s, and we sound the alarm. But for whatever reason, it took the Center for Medical Progress with these undercover videos to really break this story, for people to really believe that something so ghoulish and nightmarish could actually be happening behind closed doors at Planned Parenthood.
Now, the rallies tomorrow are Are they part of a series of rallies that you have planned? Where do you plan to go after tomorrow? No pun intended.
Well, I would imagine we're going to continue these. This isn't going away. Like you said, that there's a series of videos coming out. So we're not going to remain silent on this. I have never seen so many people calling us and saying, what can I do to get involved? I've been doing this since 1989, and I've never seen anything like this. I just had a pastor call a little while ago. He's bringing his whole church out. You know, people are just outraged. So we're going to keep the momentum up. And, of course, we'll keep our daily presence going like we always do at the abortion centers so we can be a voice for the voiceless. But as far as we'll continue to have rallies, absolutely.
Well, how can people get in contact with you? Do you have a website? And do you mind giving your phone number out?
I'll certainly give my phone number out, 407-230-2557. You can go on Facebook, Pro-Life Action Ministries Central Florida, and we also have a national website, PLAM.org.
PLAM.org.
Yes.
And 407-230-2557.
Yes. And for local, just go to the Facebook Pro-Life Action Ministries Central Florida page.
Now on Facebook.
Yes.
And do you expect a big turnout tomorrow? You said you got one pastor bringing at least a busload.
And he's not the only one. Yes, we are expecting a huge turnout. Yes.
Well, I intend to be there myself. You know, I got grass to cut, laundry to do. I got all kind of things I need to do. But I tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, for a couple of hours on Saturday, there's nothing more important to do than this. So
well, I look forward to meeting you.
Well, I certainly hope that a lot of our listeners will follow and along and come on out and join us down there. So I'll make a point of introducing myself to you. So, I'll try not to frighten you. Everybody says I have a face for radio. I don't know what they mean by that. All right. Hold on, because I have a caller on the line. I think she has a question more for you than for me. All right. Eva, thank you for calling. And you have a question, looks like, for Michelle.
Yes. Michelle, would you please do something that people like me that's been in the pro-life movement for a long time but can't get out and protest can get involved? Like, there's t-shirts where we can buy t-shirts to wear. I love to wear t-shirts, sweatshirts with something on them, because that's a good way of advertising.
Oh, there's a whole lot of different venues where you can get t-shirts. I mean, and one of them that is a really good one is Abolish Human Abortion. They have excellent, excellent t-shirts. Created Equal has excellent t-shirts. Operation Save America. And all of these you can Google online and find out. But
some of us that aren't...
I don't think she has a computer that she can do
okay.
that.
Then, Eva, why don't you give me a call, and then I'll get you hooked up with where you can call to get yourself a good t-shirt. I'd love to help you do that. And then, and you can pray. Oh my, you can pray.
Yes, always. But could possibly you give your number to Chris?
Yeah,
and I could call them to get your number.
Yeah, if you'll just stay on the line, I'll have Nick give it to you. She just gave it to me, and we gave it out over the air. I'll do that again, but
okay.
I'll make sure Nick has it. But if you'll just stay on the line, I've got to take a break here in a second anyway, and we'll give you Michelle's phone number, and you can call her right back, okay? All right. Okay, so once again, Michelle, that's tomorrow. Give us the locations and the time one more time, please.
Okay, Planned Parenthood, Orlando, 726 South Tampa Avenue. The time is 10 to 12. If you can't, or if you're closer to Kissimmee, 610 O'Common Boulevard, 10 to 1.
And that's tomorrow. And if you would like to be more involved with what Michelle is doing, please give her a call at 407-230-2557. 407-230-2557. Well, thank you so much for what you've been doing and for as long as you've been doing it. Boy, you are a trooper. I'll say that.
Well, you know, somebody has to be that voice for the voiceless, and hopefully through these atrocities of these videos, more people are going to want to get involved now to try to, you know, stop this bloodshed in America.
I think you're right. All right, God bless you, Michelle. We'll see you tomorrow.
God bless you. Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Okay, so once again, that's tomorrow, folks, in Kissimmee, right across from the Osceola Regional Medical Center, or in Orlando, across from the Citrus Bowl. Please be there. If you are against what Planned Parenthood is doing, this is your chance to say something about it. Or please get involved somehow, like Eva. It doesn't have to be at a protest, but really, you need to do something. Ask yourself, what can you best do to try to help? Even if it's pray, get down on your knees and pray harder than you've ever prayed before. We just can't allow this to be a part of our society. We'll be right back. All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. We're going to tell you how you can take your own trip to paradise. All right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show, and we'd love to have you join us on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise when we're going to go sailing on November the 13th from Port Canaveral over here on a beautiful ship. It's a Royal Caribbean ship. It's the the Enchantment of the Seas. It's a big, beautiful ship. And once again, we still have a few cabins open. The balconies have sold out at our original price, but I think Marilee said she has a couple in balconies at a discount from what now would be the cruise line price.
Right, and it's just a little bit higher. Our group price was $499, and this is going to be $550.50.
Okay, $550.50, and that'll get per person for a balcony cabin. Mm-hmm. These are beautiful cabins too. I mean,
yes,
spacious. I was surprised. Look at how spacious these things are.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you still have a couple of ocean views and a couple of the
interior cabins.
They're all very spacious. But you have sold a couple more since we saw you last time.
Yes, I have.
Yeah, so I want to welcome those folks to come cruising with us. So, and it looks like we have Tim on the line from Castleberry. Tim, how many days?
85 days to go.
All right, we're down to an 80 handle. So next time we'll be just a little over 10 weeks away. So we're less than 12 weeks away.
You bet.
We're about 12 weeks away, yeah. So,
I want to thank Marilee because through this whole process, it's been so easy to work with her and so nice. And we wrapped up our business end of it the other day, and now we're just waiting for the time to go by.
I know it. Joseph Terp is too cruel a man for this beautiful woman here, I tell you what.
I know. I've met Joseph.
I know. Joseph.
Maybe we'll make Joseph climb the rock wall on board the ship.
That would be interesting to see. Need about five of us to hold a safety line, though,
yeah,
right?
There you go.
we love you, Joseph. Just kidding. All right, go ahead, Tim. I'm sorry.
I'm just curious to see if the Enchantment of the Seas could use some anchor babies when we port. If they could just tie them to the line.
Now hold on. I thought we agreed we're not going to call them anchor babies anymore. I gave you 10 alternatives, and you had to go use that again. So
I kind of like the
PP passports. That's a pretty good one. You know, that's kind of like baby on board. Everybody likes that, right?
I got confused because Trump says I'm calling them anchor babies.
I like that. He's such a take charge kind of guy. And old Jeb Bush, when he put his hands on his hips and turned around and said, "Well, what do you want me to say?" I tell you what, that was just too effeminate for me. It was indeed. All right, how many more days? 80 what?
85.
85 days to go. All right, I'm getting excited.
So everybody wrap up your details. Let's get going. There's still room for a couple of more. We're going to have some fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
And Marilee, thank you again for all you do.
You're absolutely welcome, Tim. It's been a pleasure working with you. I can't wait to sail with you, too.
Yes.
We're going to have a good time.
All right. Outrageous. Okay.
All right. Have a good one.
All right, Tim. See you in 85 days or less. All right. And not only can people get this cruise by going to Marilee, but you can get just about any vacation destination she can set you up with, get you there any way you want to go. Have you ever booked anybody for train trips, like cross-country train trips?
Not here locally. I've did one actually in Canada.
Yeah, because they have like the scenic train.
Rockies. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've done that. And of course, I've done, through the channel and everything between London and Paris
right.
for people.
So anywhere you want to go, Mara Lee can get you there, and she'll get you there at the best price. Just go to vacationtravelplanners.com. That's vacationtravelplanners.com. Or you can call her at 321-251-4777. And once again, you have until August the 30th to lock in our discounted prices. If you don't do it by August 30th, you may or may not get that price. So if you think you want to go on this cruise, you have one more week to be sure to get these prices.
Yep, and let me give you some comparisons, okay?
Go ahead.
So the lowest I have, which is the inside, the one that I reserved for the group is actually like four categories higher than the very lowest. So you're automatically up on a higher deck.
Okay.
Versus being on the lower deck.
So that's good already.
Okay, so $229. Okay. The cruise line for the very lowest is $309.
Wow.
And for the same category that we're in is $325.50. So that's almost $100 difference per person.
Please take advantage of this offer while you can, folks. VacationTravelPlanners.com, 321-251-4777. Please stay with us. We'll be back with more of the American Adversaries Drive Time Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Let's go see the elephant without a road.
Welcome back to the show, folks, or welcome to the show if you're just now tuning us in. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show coming to you live on FM 105.5 and AM 660 The Answer from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And don't forget, for the very best in health-centered dentistry, Mercury Free Dentistry, and general dentistry, call my dentist at 407-678-3399. James E. Hardy is his name. Mercury Free is his game. And that's the name of the book that he has written on that subject matter. And by the way, if you have chronic health problems and the doctors just can't figure out what's the matter with you, I don't care what it is. Look in your mouth. Go in the bathroom, open your mouth, look in the mirror. And if you have so-called silver fillings in your mouth, believe it or not, they may be the source of your problem. All right. As I said, we are live. Nick LoCicero is on the bridge. He is back from his vacation in California, and he'll be manning the phones if you want to give us a call at 407-774-8255. He'll be glad to pick it up and take care of you. And I am Christopher Hart, and in the studio with me still is Mara Lee of Vacation Travel Planners.
Hello.
And we'll be talking a little bit more about our Come Sail Away With Me cruise, which will be departing on November the 13th with Mara Lee a little bit later on in the show. But just want to just review a little bit from the first hour and then get to our next guests. I offered up 10 alternatives to the phrase anchor baby. And I'll just give you a little sample. Like, instead of calling them anchor babies, we can call them tickets to paradise, or bacon winners, because they're going to be bringing in the bacon. Or I like this one, PP passports. Or we can just go ahead and call them Democrat voters. That's what they're going to end up being. Or how about pamper pardons for fugitives? That was another good one, too. All right, so we did have a little bit of fun with that in the first hour of the show. Also, however, talked about the rally going on tomorrow, protest rally going on tomorrow in Orlando and Kissimmee. The rally in Orlando is going to be on Tampa Avenue at the Planned Parenthood Clinic from 10 to noon. And in Kissimmee, it'll be from 10 to 1 at the Planned Parenthood Clinic across the street from the Osceola Regional Medical Center. All right, so want to introduce you to the fellows who have come in to be on the show this afternoon. They're from Act for America, the local group, and I want to welcome to the show Chris Kassler. Chris, how you doing this afternoon?
Chris, I'm doing great. Good to hear your voice.
And yours as well. And Mike, the head chieftain over there at Act for America Orlando. How you doing, Mike?
Glad to be here, Chris. It's an honor to be with you.
Well, it's an honor to have you guys in and have you guys as friends. We've been working with you fellas for you folks for a long time now, and it's important what you're doing. You're not as lone voices as you used to be, but you are sort of the lone voices, the lone cries out there in the wilderness, so to speak, in terms of what we're dealing with when it comes to the Islamic threat. And you've done a lot of, you sponsored a lot of guest speakers here in Orlando, and we've had a number of them as guests on the show, and they're always extremely informative and well-informed. And so I just wanted to start off by saying thanks for that. Having said all of that, you guys have put together a book, and it's not your average book. It's called Saving Rivka Berry, and some of our audience, most of our audience, I'm sure, knows who Rivka Berry is, but some of them don't. So first of all, tell us what the book is. Is it a novel? Just tell us what it is, and then in the process, please remind our listeners or inform them as to who Rivka Berry is.
Well, the book itself is a graphic novel, which is to say that it's a story told in pictures. Some people would say it's a glorified comic book because it's well over 100 pages long.
Okay.
We commissioned an artist to illustrate it because we felt that our audience would relate to the story better if they had pictures to look at as well as text and dialogue. Rivka is a girl who at 16 was discovered to have become a Christian, which she had done 3 years before that was discovered. And her story exemplifies the plight of a great many young people in this country and abroad who, frankly, have decided not to continue as Muslims. They've decided to turn to another faith. Under Islam, that is considered apostasy, and that's considered punishable by death. Rivka was a girl living in Ohio with her family. She was born in Sri Lanka, but she had grown up very much an American child. She had been to American schools. She was a cheerleader. She had, you know, normal friends, went to the mall, all that sort of thing. And when her change of heart had been discovered, she felt seriously, genuinely threatened by her own father. Prior to her experience or her threats, there were two sisters in Dallas, Texas, who had become too Americanized in the eyes of their father, who had lured them home and then shot them to death, simply for not maintaining their Islamic customs sufficiently for him. So she felt seriously threatened.
You mean he didn't go to prison?
I don't think so. I think he fled the country.
Yeah, that happens quite frequently. They flee the country. One of the things that we don't understand is, in the Muslim culture, honor is everything. And a child changing religion or just wearing clothes that doesn't please the father is apostasy.
Yeah, and it's up to the family members to do something about it, right?
Absolutely.
And it's their burden to execute the sentence, so to speak.
Correct. And they do it in the most deliberate and conclusive way possible,
and very how should I say, sneakily too. As you said, they lured them back.
In this case, these two young ladies, I think they were 16 and 17, beautiful girls, had run away from home and were away and called home, and their mother persuaded them to return, and when they did, their father shot them.
These were Rivka's sisters.
No. These are young girls the same age, but they lived in Dallas. It was a story that was well known at the time.
I got you.
But she was aware of it.
I see.
This made her fearful that her father would do something for her because her father threatened her.
Okay. So she took the threat seriously.
She did. And you know,
real quickly, had she become a Christian?
Yes.
Okay.
She had done so at about 13. She had been at school one day, and one of her schoolmates had said, "Hey, why don't you come to church with us?" You know, and she said, "Why not?" So she went to church on Sunday, and, you know, bingo, she got it. And at that point, she became a Christian, a practicing Christian, although she had to do it undercover.
Right.
And joined a prayer group online, and through that Facebook connection and others, she met other Christians, and she also had a connection on Facebook to Beverly Lorenz, who was a pastor here, who with her husband, Blake, both of them are pastors, were the ones who sheltered Rivka when she ran away from Ohio.
Yeah.
They didn't know her any more than that connection, and they certainly didn't lure her here, but it was where she chose to come.
It's an amazing story.
I'm sure as many people in our audience are now remembering who exactly this girl was, because it was in the media. It was a big court case.
Right.
They were hiding Rivka down here, and she was, what, about 15 or 17 at the time?
Well, she was 16 at the time, but she wasn't hiding in that sense. I mean, they weren't hiding her. The fact is that, and this is a lot of legal stuff that was connected to this, but the fact is that she hadn't been reported missing. She was under 18, but legally speaking, she wasn't a runaway. So the Lorenzes took care of her, but they weren't hiding her. They were providing her with shelter.
I see.
And introducing her to a way of life that she'd never experienced. In her own words, she said she was never happier or more at peace than she was in their home.
When Rivka ran into all these Christians, they gave her a Bible, and she took the Bible home, and she used to sneak in the bathroom and read the Bible and hide the Bible. And it was that Bible that her parents found which got her into trouble. They were livid, and they made her promise to come back to Islam. And
don't, in a situation like that, the other women in the family kind of descend on her in this particular case and try to convince her of the wrongness of her ways?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole community gets involved. Not only the community, the mosque gets involved. Very
yes.
involved.
All right. And so she came to Florida. And so what happened after that?
Well, after she came to Florida, the state of Florida took an interest in her case.
Right.
And I'm going to condense it considerably, but the state of Ohio, which is where her parents lived, wanted her returned. And she was here, in effect, in foster care. And after a series of negotiations and court appearances, they actually elected to return her to Ohio, where she lived in foster care. She finished high school, graduated with honors, and then ultimately turned 18 and received asylum in the United States as an adult. But it was quite an ordeal. And as I said earlier, what she experienced exemplifies the plight of millions of young people around the world, not just in the United States. They can't leave something like this because it's a deadly, scary experience.
Yeah, this story, the reason we want to tell it, this is not atypical or not untypical of many, many Muslim girls around the world. There's about 5,000 or more honor killings a year. We suspect many more because families keep it secret. We want to get this story told, and we have a website called SavingRivkaBerry.com, and at that website, they can order the book.
And by the way, you spell Rivka Berry, R-I-F-Q-A-B-A-R-Y. R-I-F-Q-A-B-A-R-Y, SavingRivkaBerry.com. So you have written her story in, you call it, a graphic novel fashion.
Yes, we also think that's good for younger, like high school kids, college kids. They read graphic novels much more than they will a printed book.
One thing I want to interject. The account that we're telling is the Lorenz's account, because they were the ones who received her here, got to know her very well, and they themselves wrote an account of their experience. They kept notes, and they wrote a lengthy account of it. It was never published.
Right.
And so we used their account as the basis for our book.
I got you.
And through them, I think we were able to tell a very effective story, because we have Blake's words, we have Beverly's words, we have their reflections on what was actually taking place at the time.
And she has written her own book. If I'm not mistaken, this is separate from that.
This is separate. The story is similar but different.
This is a third-person account as opposed to a first-person account, I guess would be the best way to describe it.
Absolutely. And we don't recognize the heroes that were involved in her life. For instance, John Stenberger was her attorney. Care came after him. I think it cost him $30,000 or $40,000 to defend himself.
Is he in your book?
Yes. Yes,
and can't wait to see the picture of it.
And a lot of famous people got involved in her case, like Pamela Geller.
Right.
I think Robert Spencer was involved.
Robert Spencer, yeah. Tom Trento. A lot of people were directly involved in that. This was 6 years ago. You know, things have progressed considerably since then.
Right.
But the facts of what motivated this situation is still the same.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. And this is a novel you need to get your hands on, folks. And it's got lots of pictures. So Saving Rivka Berry is savingrivkaberry.com is the location.
Only $5.
And it's only $5. How about that? That's the best part of all. And you can get it on Amazon.com. Saving Rivka Berry is the name of it. SavingRivkaBerry.com, or just go to Amazon.com. $5. It'll be the best $5 you spent in a whole long time. Speaking of long times, it won't be a long time before we're back.
You gotta keep them separated.
All right, welcome back to the show, folks, where we separate fact from fiction, truth from lies, and the truth tellers and the good guys from the liars and the bad guys. I am Christopher Hart. In the studio with me is Chris and Mike, I should say are Chris and Mike from the local ACT group and the authors of the brand new graphic novel, Saving Rivka Berry. Mara Lee of Vacation Travel Planners is also in here. Nick's on the bridge. 407-778-2555 is the number. And Chris was just showing me the website, savingrivkaberry.com, R-I-F-Q-A-B-A-R-Y, savingrivkaberry.com. And the artwork is, I tell you, it's professionally done. It's not just stick figures or anything, right?
No, it's very well done.
And was it just the two of you who authored it?
Well, actually, I'm not an author. The author really is Pastor Lorenz and his wife,
okay,
Beverly.
From their experiences.
We took their story.
I got you.
And we took our Hollywood producer friends, Chris Kastner, who put it in a script form like it would be a movie and gave it to an artist, local artist, who's very, very talented, and he's the person that rendered the book.
Yeah, Mark Bies, very fine artist.
And it's kind of storyboard fashion, is it sort of?
Yeah, well, it's a glorified comic book. You know, it's nonfiction, though, so it's kind of mistaken to call it a novel because it's not fiction.
Are people going to learn a lot about the tenets of Islam, which dictate these sort of things, by reading this?
Yes, they will, but probably not the full extent, which we hope everybody will follow up with. For instance, one of the things I try to teach Americans is we do not understand the culture of Islamic countries. But Islam and culture is the same thing. Somebody says, is it their culture or it's a religion? It's the exact same thing. Over there, they respect authority. In America, we respect individuality, wisdom. You know, people with a lot of knowledge, we respect them. That doesn't go in Muslim countries. In Muslim countries, the father is the boss. Right. Women follow the father. Kids have to obey or they're dead.
Right.
It's an authority figure. And Americans have a tough time grasping that.
Yeah, Islam was, from the very start, Muhammad was attempting to reorganize society.
Amen.
And he came up with a way to legitimize his ideas of why people should behave the way he thought they should behave. And that's what Islam is all about.
Yes.
Well, and a lot of the way he thought people should behave was to behave just like him, and he had some pretty strange proclivities, which are consequently approved in the Quran, because
right.
Muhammad did it. And that's very questionable, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. We got a caller on the line who has a question for you, so let's take that question from Mike right now. Mike, thank you for calling.
Hey, guys. It's good to hear you.
Thank you.
I mean, I've been following Rivka's story since it happened, and I read part of her book. But I was at Universal with my family, and I was noticing all these families from around the world, in particular Muslim families, and their children are so beautiful. And I was looking at the little girls, and I was thinking, gosh, they're having fun, the fathers, the mother. Everybody's having all this fun. And I turned to my wife, and I said, you know what? This is what freedom builds, stuff like this, Universal, Disney, stuff like that. And next graphic novel, maybe have a little girl go into Universal, gets home, and then has the female circumcision.
Well,
right.
And some, you know, where the world just twists, where the people you trust so much turn on you and make it graphic.
I think it's a wonderful suggestion, and we'll consider it, but I want you to consider something too. There are very, very many nice Muslims in the world.
Oh, I know.
Okay.
I know.
But
I know.
When we do a survey in America, 51% of Muslims in America believe we should have Sharia. Sharia is Islamic law, which says everybody has to worship Allah or die. It's 51% of them. 25% of Muslims in America believe in terrorist activities to promote their religion. So it's a worry. It is a worry. So we cannot broad brush this stuff, and because we see somebody that's very nice and very happy, to say everything is fine.
Well, I follow this very carefully. I'm a student of history, and when you said Muhammad had strange proclivities, that's an understatement. So, and his perfection is doubtful at best. So, but I would just say, you know, even people who are doing this, I don't think they really understand. Like I read about a woman saying, "Don't mess with our culture," and she had her grandmother and mother did this to her. And she was going to do it to her daughter. And it's like, I don't think they understand the horror of some of these things they do.
That's right. It's our job to educate it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Absolutely. Mike, thanks. I appreciate the call. And
have a great day, bud.
You too. This is what I like about Act for America and what these guys are doing. If you remember that pastor from Gainesville, I think it was, or Ocala, what's his name?
Terry Jones.
Terry Jones. Okay. Now, he wanted to burn the Quran.
Yes.
Now, I understand the sentiment there. But when he came out and said he wanted to do that, I came on the radio and I said, no, here's what I would do if I were the pastor. Instead of encouraging people to burn the Quran, I would make sure that everyone in my congregation had one. And I would say, let's read the doggone thing. We need to understand. We need to know what we're up against. We don't need to be, you know, closing our minds and being ignorant. We need to fully understand this so we can go out and show people in the book
right. What
it says and why it's wrong. And that's what you guys do. You try to educate people about Islam, right?
Yes.
And if you educate people about Islam, they figure it out on their own pretty quick that this ain't the right way to go.
Right. If you look at the contributions of people to the world, civilizations to the world, the free market Christian civilization has done more for civilization than any other race or economic system.
No, you're wrong. More than all other races, and you got it. But I understand this.
Okay.
Anyway, Chris, you wanted to say something real quick.
Yeah. The one of the great benefits of this book is an e-book, and in it are footnotes which link back to, you asked about information about Islam. And so all of the footnotes are frequently references to YouTube videos or articles online from newspapers and things of that sort. So there's a huge reference at the back of the book for people interested in following through on more information.
The reason I think this e-book is much better than a textbook or a normal book is that there are links. You read a balloon and you click on the link, it'll take you to a footnote, which can take you to graphic material. It is awesome.
A wealth of knowledge. You can find it in Saving Rivka Berry. And you can find that at savingrivkaberry.com or go on Amazon. The guys will stick around. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got the American Adversaries Drive Time Prime Time Show for another half hour to go. And we are live on FM 105.5 and AM 660, The Answer, until 7. So if you'd like to give us a call, if you have any questions or comments, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, when we wrap up at 7 o'clock, if you like high school football, and especially if you like the Apopka Blue Daddas, you can listen to them up the dial on 1520 WBZW as they play the Lake City team tonight in their football home opener, and they'll be away on the road, so they'll be up in Lake City tonight playing football. All right, in the studio, still have Mara Lee of Vacation Travel Planners.
Hello.
We're going to talk about our Come Sail Away With Me cruise again here shortly. In the meantime, I still have Mike and Chris of Act for America Orlando, and they have come out with a graphic novel along with the artist. What's the artist's name again?
Mark Byes.
Mark Byes. The novel is called Saving Rivka Berry. You can get it at Amazon. Rivka is spelled R-I-F-Q-A-B-A-R-Y, Rivka Berry. And or you can go to savingrivkaberry.com and get the book there. It's only $5. It's loaded though with information. It's a book. It's a novel, but it's about Rivka Berry's life,
right?
As taken from an account from the pastor and his wife who were caring for her. So I encourage you to get this book and make sure you read it and follow up on some of the information bubbles and things like that. And it sounds like to me a great way for people to really get a grasp of the culture itself of Islam.
Amen.
And what people actually have to do to be faithful to it. Let's go to John, who has a comment. John, thank you for calling.
You're welcome. I just wanted to say that their holiest of holy books, the Quran and the Hadith, tells them that they can lie to infidels to further the cause of Allah. And like you said, 51% of them polled say that they want Sharia law. And it tells them basically what they believe. If you don't worship with somebody or in their close circle of friends, you don't know who they really are. And somebody told me they wanted to cut my head off. I would believe it. I'd say thanks for the warning. But, you know, most of the people, as an example, if you remember who Ted Bundy was, most people that met Ted Bundy, including his next-door neighbor, would probably tell you he was a nice guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we hear that over and over with mass killers. You know, I never thought it would have been him, right? Yeah. But you're right. And you mentioned that that's taqiyya, that
right.
When you can deceive someone, you know, 51% say they would support Sharia law. Well, maybe that means that the other 49% are simply practicing taqiyya, right?
Right.
They do too. They just aren't saying it.
Right.
But see, that's the problem with a faith of this nature. How can you ever really be comfortable that you know who they are, right?
Not only that, they are taught when you're weak, be nice. When you're strong, be brutal. They're taught that. They believe that. That's why they're nice in America. We don't know if they're nice because they really are nice or they're following, we'll get you when we're strong.
Well, let me just interject this. You know, the Islamic State, what they're doing over there, they are practicing Sharia law, right?
Oh, man. Yeah. Amen.
To the letter.
And we just found out over the last few days, a week or so, that Kayla Mueller was treated as a sex slave by Abu Akbar
right.
Baghdadi. And you would have to presume that our government at least suspected that something like this was going on. And I said that when we found out that she had been killed, that it was a mercy killing. Because I knew that this sort of thing was going on. And it's not unusual, though, is it?
No. It's a really terrible thing. And in this country, we don't hear as much about it as we might. But the media may be waking up. But, you know, Islam in this country is involved with human trafficking. We don't hear about that. That's a no-no. We don't want to hear about that.
No, it's not politically correct. But make no mistake, what they were doing to Kayla Mueller, they do to Muslim women, they do to Christian women over there. Now, he took her because he was the leader, and she was a trophy.
Right.
You know, she was his trophy.
Right.
And I'm sure every time he did what he did to her, he was taking great pleasure in not the act itself, but the fact that she was an American.
That's
she
right.
was an American girl.
Yeah. Practiced sadism.
Exactly what it is. John.
Yes, pathetic.
It is indeed. Hey, listen, I want to thank you for calling tonight.
Thank you for the great work, guys.
I appreciate
You're welcome.
It very much. I
Don't
appreciate
forget
it.
To buy the book.
Yes, please do. Thanks for listening. Saving Rivka Berry is the name of the book, Rivka. What's she doing now?
We think she's in
Go ahead, Mike.
She's in an institution of learning. And we have two reports, one that she's going into ministry, and the other one she's going to be an attorney. Both of them do not go together, so it's sort of a laugh, you know.
Yeah. Well, Marilee, you asked Mike a question during the break.
Yeah, even though she's no longer a minor, she isn't an adult, legal adult, is she safe?
We think she is, yes.
She's evidently not living with her parents, right?
No, she's not living with her parents, and in all likelihood, her parents don't even know where she lives. But, and this is a sad part of it, truthfully. I mean, she's, you know, she has to live in a life of seclusion and with, you know, always a sense of awareness, unlike most of us. And the sad part is, I mean, this is a young lady who can't be with her family. I mean, this is a horrible thing.
I mean, they have disowned her.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the safe part. Let me comment about it. Individual Muslims, we don't know how crazy they are. We listened to an interview of a guy in Minnesota the other day who said he would love to kill anybody who insults Muhammad. That's his exact words. Now,
Real quick, since this is a graphic novel, are there any depictions of Mohammed in it?
No, sir.
No, there's not.
Well, if you need any, I'll be glad to draw them out for you.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
I want to comment on something that I will hand you in a moment. There's a imam who says, Jews and Christians are filthy. Their lives and property can be taken by jihad by Muslims. This guy lives in Tennessee.
He's on American soil. This is like that kid that shot five American servicemen in uniform.
This just happened. Right. And this is what they're saying.
Yeah.
They're bold. They're not afraid to speak out.
Well, you know, let's not forget that at one time communism was outlawed in this country because it wanted to overthrow the nation and the Constitution. And a lot of what's being advocated here amounts to the same thing. So it's potentially possible that Islam will be outlawed in the United States one day.
Well, the problem with that is, though, you got the liberal mindset, which throws around, oh, it's McCarthyism if you want to try to do something about this.
Right. Well, arguably, thank God for McCarthy.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right about that. Hey, listen, we got Dr. Ken Vihek on the line. Dr. K, where are you at today?
Hey, how are you guys?
Excellent. Where you be?
I'm out in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Yeah.
Oh.
Getting AJ set up at UNLV.
Yeah, today was move in, and they had this special barbecue by the president in the afternoon. And we've been out here on campus actually since about 8:30 this morning, doing all kinds of neat stuff. It's really cool to see. You're getting all the kids fired up and ready for school on Monday.
Dr. K, we've been talking about Rivka Berry, the young girl who lived with was a daughter of a Muslim family. And she decided to become a Christian, and they said that they were going to kill her. Yeah, how is it that, I mean, it's kind of hard for Americans to understand how a parent could do that to a daughter. How is it that love can be overcome by faith in this religion?
Well, what you have to understand is that their religion comes first. It doesn't matter anything else. That's why, as I said before on the show, that, you know, Muslims, by their theocracy, cannot be good Americans because they can't pledge themselves to what America believes in because it goes against their faith. So anything that goes against their faith is going to, you know, immediately put them up against these hard decisions. And for them, it's like, okay, well, the faith is first, family second, and possibly even third. So it's just like a sociopath. They can compartmentalize all these things. And they just said, you know, because you're not involved with us in our religion, you can't be part of our family anymore. We don't recognize you. You no longer exist.
Do the women experience something like a Stockholm syndrome because they are, like, held captive, and yet if one of them gets out of line, it's the women who sort of like descend on them and say, hey, what are you doing? You know, you're not doing right.
Well, no, it's actually even deeper and possibly worse than that, than a Stockholm. Stockholm syndrome implies that you actually did have freedom and have free-thinking ability at some point in time, and you were captured, and you had to align yourself with your captor in order to become, you know, a little bit of what you were before. These people were never given that opportunity for the most part. The women have been sequestered their entire lives. They know no different. You know, and the ones that actually break away, get educated, and become different, start to say, hey, wait a minute, and question the religion, they're the ones that get ostracized because they've become free-thinking individuals.
I see.
That's the difference.
Yeah.
So, no, Stockholm syndrome, you know, you can't really put it in against what's going on.
So
this is actually a change in one's beliefs. It becomes a significant emotional event in their life when all of a sudden, you know, it's like an aha moment. Wow, it can be this way. And that's where all of a sudden they have to take issue with it, what they've been taught.
I agree with everything that doctor said. That's one reason we did this graphic novel, SavingRivkaBerry.com is where you can get it. We need to educate Americans. Americans just do not know anything about Islam. I did a brief, not scientific survey. My guess is over 90% of Americans, when they hear the word Islam, think it's a religion. That's all they think it is.
Right.
And it's defended by our Constitution. They have no idea.
Right. Yeah. And they assume as such that it's harmless. And it's anything but.
It's anything but. It's the exact opposite. And yeah. I heard you mention it earlier that, you know, McCarthyism, you know, tried to keep communism out, made it illegal. Well, look what's happened, you know, 65 years later. You know, we've got a president that, you know, follows pretty much all those things that we've been fighting against with Phil McCarthy.
You're absolutely right. And a guy running for president who openly touts it, right?
Yeah. I mean, and he's right. The front runner now, isn't he? I mean, or close, because Hillary's in a free fall. Let's admit that.
Yeah, it's just a matter of time on her, that's for sure. But, yeah, we've come a long way, baby, haven't we? But only in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it baffles me completely that someone who would be an open socialist has the ability and the backing of, look at the percentage points, of that many Americans saying, oh, yeah, that'd be a good idea to have someone like that as the leader of the free world.
Yeah.
To me, that just blows me away.
It's insane.
Yeah. Yeah. Chris, you want to say something?
Well, I was going to comment on Islam. Ravi Zacharias, who's very well known for his outspoken views on Islam and who works with Muslims all the time to try to bring them to Christ, has pointed out that Islam is a forced religion. People say, well, it's the largest or the fastest growing religion in the world, but that's because it's forced. If you are in a situation where you're a dhimmi, you can be forced to become a Muslim. If you are a Muslim and you decide to leave, you're committing apostasy and you're subject to a death sentence, which hangs over your head for the rest of your days. So this is not a religion people join by choice or because they get it. It's a religion in which they're kept effectively as slaves.
Well, look, if you go back, I want to say, 25 years ago, maybe, when Salman Rushdie's book was published?
Yeah.
Someone who I really enjoyed growing up listening to, you know, Cat Stevens, came out and said that if he had the opportunity, he would kill him.
Right.
Yeah. It warps your mind.
Think about that.
It's horrible.
His songs are all about peace and harmony.
I know,
He reverts to that, and you go, what?
Yeah, he did that song Peace Train and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
He did the soundtrack for Harold and Maude, too. You ever see that movie?
Yeah. I think
you don't have to look any further than that kind of an example. Here's a guy who, you know, made a great career out of singing about peace, love, and harmony. Then all of a sudden, oh, wait a minute, he violated the tenets of my religion or one of my perceived tenets of my religion. So it's my duty now to go kill him.
That's a good point. Yeah, that's an excellent point. Yeah, you're right.
Thank you, Ken.
Hey, Doctor.
Put that in your next book.
What's that?
Okay, we will.
All right.
Thank you for that.
All right. Hey, Dr. K, we got to take the break. I look forward to seeing you next week, though.
That'll be a pleasure.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Have fun out there.
Enjoy the dice.
Really
enjoy the dice. I mean, the night.
Hey, it's only 115 right now, guys.
Oh,
okay. Almost like Baghdad.
Yeah. All right. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. That's right, you got us for one more segment, then the weekend officially begins. Before it begins, though, I'd love it if you could do me a favor. Go to am660theanswer.com, become an answer seeker, basically give them your email address, and then take the Dreams Come True survey. You might win $5,000. And if you write in where they ask your favorite host or personality, if you write in my name or the American Adversaries or somebody from the show, even Mara Lee, you can help me out a lot, okay? We want the big dogs to notice us out there in California where the corporate headquarters is. We want them to go look at that survey. And I'm sure they're looking at this on a daily basis. I want them to look at that survey and go, who are these guys that keep popping up on here? We need to find out who they are. If you tell them that we're your favorite show in Orlando, that means you like us better than Bill Bennett, Mike Gallagher, Dennis Prager, Michael Medved, and Hugh Hewitt. That says something. So please take that survey at am660theanswer.com, and you might win $5,000. We're running short on time, so I got two callers, and they each have a question for the guests. So, unfortunately, I'd like to talk to you longer, but Sherry and Diane, please make your questions brief and to the point. Sherry, we start with you. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you being out there.
Oh, okay. Good evening, Chris.
Hey, how you doing?
Fine. I signed up Monday or so.
You signed up?
Yeah. I had my brother do it on his computer.
Oh, you mean for the survey?
Yeah.
Oh, God bless you. Thank
American
you very much.
Adversaries, that's what I put.
Hey, I love you.
No.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'll make this real quick. I just wanted to do a little follow-up on those two daughters that were killed in Dallas, Texas.
Right.
I saw a dramatization of it. And the girls did run away, but the mother talked them back. Now, she wasn't a Muslim. I don't know if she converted, but she wasn't a Muslim. She married a Muslim. And, of course, he befriended his daughters again, got them in his trust, And then he took them out one day. He wanted to take them somewhere, and he pulled up some side street in some subdivision, stopped the car, turned around in the car, and shot them both point blank in the face.
Oh, my Lord.
And then he just disappeared. But one of them stayed alive long enough to be able to tell who did it before she died.
Mm. Ah.
You know,
yeah.
And one more thing real quick.
Yeah.
I'll let Diane come on. Dr. D. James Kennedy of Coral Ridge Ministries in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, about 12 years ago, did a documentary on called What If Jesus Christ Had Never Been Born? And it talks about all the advances of Christianity in science, medicine, mathematics, charity, and everything.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a wonderful video. I think you could still call down there and get it, but, I mean, oh, wow.
What's his name?
I've never invented a thing.
What's the name again?
Murder.
What's his name again?
Dr. D. James Kennedy.
D. James Kennedy.
With Coral Ridge Ministries.
Coral Ridge Ministries.
Yeah. I can call Sunday night and give Jeff
okay. All right,
my number.
Why don't you do that, because I'm just about out of time. So.
Okay, darling.
All right. God bless you. Thank you, Sherry.
Bye.
All right. Diane, you're next. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Mike and Chris, thank you for all that you do. And it's a sin that's what's going on in our country, because we're not allowing the Christians that are being persecuted in our country. They're letting everybody else in this world in here except for these persecuted Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. And I know you're not a big Trump fan, but I will say this about Donald Trump.
No, he's amazing because he's out there doing it.
And he is. And he talks about how Christians are having their heads cut off in the Middle East, and we got to do something about it. We do. We do. And we need to talk about it, and we need to take action. And if this president won't, we need to find one that will.
Yeah.
But it's a shame that in my name, my country will not let these people in our country.
Yeah, well, you're right.
Correct.
All right. Thanks, Diane. God bless you. Appreciate you being out there. We're just about out of time, but real quick, once again, please buy this book. It's only $5. Buy several of them. Get them for your loved ones. SavingRivkaBerry.com is the website where you can see. You get a preview of it at the website.
Yeah, the website has some of the illustrations on it, has a description of the book, and it has interviews, video interviews with the artist, with Blake Lorenz, the pastor, and also with David Wood, a philosopher and professor who speaks on Islam and Christianity.
All right. At this time, it's only available from Amazon, but in a few days it'll be available from Apple also.
Okay, so Amazon, Saving Rivka Berry, Rifqa Berry, Bary, Saving Rivka Berry, or go to SavingRivkaBerry.com. And I look forward to getting a copy of this myself. And so please do take advantage of it. Guys, we'll have to have you back in the near future to talk more about this. And I tell you what we could do is we could talk a lot about it on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. How about that? Have a little panel discussion about this.
That's true. That's true. We've got the conference room booked.
Hey.
So we've got our own space, and we can just kind of have our own discussions.
All right. Now, earlier you were saying that for the interior cabins, mm-hmm. you have blocked away the interior cabins at the higher levels on the ship mm-hmm. that are cheaper right now than the interior cabins at the lower levels on the ship if they buy them through us and through you, right?
Correct.
How much is that interior?
What's the interior you're going for again?
$229 per person based on double occupancy.
And what about the Ocean View cabins?
$269 per person.
And what would that be if you bought it from somebody else through the cruise line, say?
It would be, it goes up to $359.
So if you get for $90 cheaper if you go through us, our Come Sail Away With Me cruise and vacation travel planners. And the balconies, our rate at the balcony is gone. However, you do have about some balcony cabins that are more than what our rate was, but less than what the cruise lines are charging.
Right.
And what are those? What's
those
the rate?
Are $550.50.
$550.50.
I don't know where they come up.
All right. Well, our cabins are booking up, and so please come and join us on our Come Sail Away With Me cruise. It sails November the 13th, and you have until next Friday to lock in these prices. After next Friday, you may still get a cabin, but you may have to pay more for it, or you may not be able to get a cabin at all, Mike.
And what port are you leaving from?
Right out of Port Canaveral.
Port Canaveral.
Okay. That's very close, very handy.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of us can carpool over there if that becomes an issue. So.
Mm-hmm.
hey, and 85 days to go, as Tim told us a little
bit earlier
in the show. So Mike's thinking about going. Of course, I'm going. Mary Lee's going to be there
I'm
with Joseph.
Be there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we got
Dr. Ken's coming.
Dr. K's coming, and we got a number of our listeners who have already booked cabins, so we're looking forward to it. And it's just going to be a lot of fun. And we got some celebrations planned, and we're just going to have a lot of fun.
Yes, we are.
And escape for a while.
Okay. That sounds wonderful. Just turn off your phone and leave it in the cabin.
Hey, once again, we want to thank you for all you do for America, Chris. I really mean
that. Thank you.
All right. Well, God bless you, fellas. And Saving Rivka Berry is the book. Please get it. You can go to Amazon and get it. $5. Or go to SavingRivkaBerry.com. Check it out first. If you don't believe me, RIFQABARY, Saving Rivka Berry. It's a fascinating story, a fascinating girl. And once again, thanks again, fellas, for being here. Mary Lee, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Night, everybody.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
News, opinion, passion. FM 105.5, AM 660. The Answer. WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando.